This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
There's going to be certain times we throw seed, and the heart of that little one is hard. The heart of that little one is shallow. The heart of that little one has weeds in it. And we think, well, what's the good of throwing seed? And God says, just keep throwing seed. Trust me with the soil.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, How Do Children and Parents Display the Gospel?
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Psalm 127, and there we learn so much about the relationship that God would establish between children and parents. You know, one of the greatest joys of my whole life has been first to be married to my wife and then to have God bless us with three sons, and then for those sons to be married, and then now, just yesterday, we had a new grandson that makes the fourth grandchild in our family. What a blessing from God. And more than the physical lives of our sons and then our now daughters through marriage and then our four grandchildren, more than their physical lives is a spiritual life. That's right at the center. And Psalm 127 helps us to have a vision for that so that we might have a path that we can begin to walk toward that. There is really no greater joy for a mom and a dad who know Jesus than to see their children walking in the truth. Psalm 127 has some really practical encouragements to us toward that end. May God encourage you as we open up His Word together.
When God gave Kimberly and I sons, He convicted us of our need to pray over our sons. And so every night we'd go into their bedroom, and we'd lay our hands on their shoulders, upon their heads, and we would pray for God's blessing on them. We'd pray very specific, but one prayer God gave us from Numbers was that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that He'd cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and He'd give you His peace. And our oldest one, as he got old enough to begin to speak, you know, a little past two, he began to love this time of prayer. And he would say, "Peace, Daddy, peace," he before we'd pray, because he wanted me to pray a prayer of blessing upon him. You know, by God's grace, we realized early that it would not be our mentorship, it wouldn't be our discipline, it wouldn't be our wise instruction that changed the hearts of our boys, but it would be our desperate prayers before God to do a work that was inaccessible to us to accomplish. Desperate prayers. And it's right for us to pray specifically for the main thing, which is that God would save their soul. Call out to Him and let them hear you call out to Him. God, by Your grace, save this little one. Rescue him from himself, from his self-will, from his or her independence. Labor number two, teach, teach, teach. So pray, pray, pray. Teach, teach, teach. Teach God's gospel to your children in the home. God has given us His Word, and what a powerful instrument it is. It's a hammer that drives home the nails to build a house. God gave His Word to us so that we would know Him, and that we would enjoy Him, and that we would walk with Him day by day. God calls His Word seed that's planted in soil, and when it's in good soil, it always produces this great fruit. And so, it's right for our parent, for us as parents, to throw seed. There's going to be certain times we throw seed, and the heart of that little one is hard. The heart of that little one is shallow. The heart of that little one has weeds in it. And we think, well, what's the good of throwing seed? And God says, just keep throwing seed. Trust me with the soil. But if you're going to have a spiritual, life-giving impact, throw seed over and over and over diligently. I like Deuteronomy 6. This is God's instruction to parents from the very beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. He says, you shall teach them diligently. What does that mean, diligently? That word teach diligently is used of sharpening a knife. And when you sharpen a knife, especially in that Old Testament time, it was taking the blade and running it over a pumice stone and just running it over. Shh, 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 shh. And you use it and then you're on shh, shh, constantly, diligently teach. And he's saying, take the word of God and over the soul so that word is saturating their lives. Not just a little sprinkle here or there, but just constant rubbing the word of God into their lives at every angle with the goal of helping them to worship, loving God. Cyprian, the great North African churchman, said that a parent who is more concerned about the physical and temporal needs of his child than the spiritual needs of the child was like, and I like this word picture, was like a man watching his dog drown and his child drown at the same time and choosing to save his dog. I love that word picture because that's abhorrent, isn't it, to think about doing that. But when we care for these academic needs, these physical needs, these other things that we're rightly concerned about, social, emotional, all these other things, and their growth in those things, sports, whatever it is, it's like watching the child and the dog drown and then jumping in to save the dog. It's total misplace of understanding what's valuable, right? And so God would have us consider teach, teach, teach. You say, I don't feel qualified to teach the Bible in my home. And I want to encourage you, think about who God's talking to here in Deuteronomy 6. He's not talking to seminary professors. He's talking to a group of people who are in the wilderness. They don't have a big bunch of library books. They don't have access to podcasts and tapes and other resources. They're just out there in the wilderness. Just teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them. Do it formally, but do it informally as well. When you talk of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And the last labor I'll just mention, because I want to get to these other word pictures, is make Jesus the focus. Labor to have Jesus be the focus. God doesn't build a home on the foundation of his law, but on the foundation of his son. Christ is the only person who can liberate the family from self-deception, from self-devotion, from self-direction, and from self-will. And we need Christ. And I would just caution us as parents, don't confuse God's law with God's son. The law is good, but Jesus is better. The law has no power to transform the heart. Jesus does. If we lead our families to God's law, but not to God's son, we'll have led them to an empty well that doesn't give life. So let's labor in confidence that the Lord is building the home, that always the focus is upon Christ. Second word picture, night watchman. He tells us to stay awake. Verse 1, again, lest the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake. So picture a builder. Don't do it alone. Now picture a guy who's sitting up on a wall guarding the city, and there's enemies that want to come into the city, find a breach in the wall, and kill everybody inside the city. That's the word picture. The principle we learn here is God alone can protect our children. What a great picture for parenting. Our children have enemies that actively look for opportunities to destroy their souls. And he says, parents, be that watchman on the wall for them. Three enemies that Scripture identifies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every enemy is very active in the life of our child. And again, we're right to stay awake. He doesn't say, don't stay awake, just fall asleep and let the Lord protect. He says, no, stay awake, be alert for these dangers in your children's lives, but make sure it's the Lord who is overseeing, that you're part of His work of protection, that you're not the one protecting. I would ask, are you aware as parents of the specific way that these enemies against their soul would destroy them are active in their life? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Again, it's important for us to look carefully, just as a watchman on the wall looks at behind every bush to say, okay, there's a whole bunch of ways that the enemies could try to sneak into the city to destroy us. And I'm going to look behind every rock, and I'm going to look, I'm going to be aware, I'm going to be alert to these things. All the while, in absolute dependence upon the Lord to defend, the Lord to even give insight and understanding, common places to look, common rocks behind which enemies hide are technology, emotional distress, entertainment. When your child's hurt, there's a danger in the midst of your child's hopes and dreams to move away from the Lord, child-children friendships. So I would encourage you to identify the enemies and take some time this week, write down what you think are the specific assaults that your children are facing, and talk with God about them first, and then talk with your children about them. And allow that to be a conversation. But stay awake. Stay awake. Our building and our protecting actions are in vain when we engage with them without dependence upon God and without worship as our chief purpose. The third picture, it's this joyful reward. Look at verse 3. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so you want to picture a person that receiving this great gift, unopening it, and the joy, it's like exactly what they wanted. It's from the Lord. It suits us perfectly. And that's the word picture that God is painting for parents. Now, it's somewhat of a natural picture, at least at first, you know, when the baby first comes. But even then, sometimes there are emotional distresses that cause a person to begin to consider this child as less than a reward, as less than a joyful gift. And God says, it's really, really important for you to, every time you look at your child, whether they're little babies. And again, this is not emotional, it's a spiritual response, because your emotions might not be there at different times, both with a little baby or with a teenager or with an adult son or daughter. And your emotions might not, this is a great gift, immediately spike, but he says, this is the truth, and have a spiritual response of faith saying, thank you, Lord, this is your gift to me. It's my reward from you. This person is a blessing. How do I treat children as gifts from the Lord? Just a couple thoughts. Give thanks to God for them. And do that over and over. Let them hear you give thanks. And especially if you have a child that's wayward, maybe a teenager who's really making life hard in your home, just let them hear, thank you, God, for this child. I will always see this child as your gift to me. Thank you. This is your reward. Secondly, give time to nurture them. That's how we express gratitude to the Lord. And then give yourself, your very self, to love them. When I was a youth pastor, a couple times I heard parents say something like this, because I dealt with parents who, oftentimes the parents that came and talked to me were parents who were having struggles. And this little phrase came up a number of times, and the parent would say, you know, Rich, I really love my son, I really love my daughter, but I don't really like them. And I understood their sentiment. I understood where it was coming from. You know, many times children do and say things that are hurtful, disappointing, concerning, even devastating. But the message I would seek to, as a younger man talking to older people, that I'd seek to bring is that if you stop liking your child, you have already stopped loving them. It's impossible to love someone that you don't like. Now, that doesn't mean you like everything they do and everything they are and everything they say. You don't like their sin. But that person is a reward from the Lord. And there's something in that person that's really awesome to like. Not just love, but to really like. Find that. Because I guarantee you that someone else is going to find something to like. And that person may be the most evil, wicked person in the world, but they're going to be drawn to somebody who likes them, who doesn't say, I'm just tolerating you because that's what love does. They're going to be drawn to that. And so it's really, really important to say, this person is a gift from you, God. And I not just like them or love them, I like them. These are the things that I recognize that are precious and special and awesome. This one is a gift. Last word picture. A warrior's arrow, shape and send. So the home, that's the word picture. Think about that, parents, of that word picture. That's what God has you. He has you on a construction site. Labor and dependence upon the Lord. He has you sitting up on a wall. There's these enemies trying to breach the wall, attack the wall, get into inside those walls and ruin the city. Just destroy everything in the path. Stay alert. Stay alert with God as your protection, dependence upon Him. This amazing gift comes just dropped on your doorpost, you know, Amazon rings the bell, and there it is, you know. Awesome. This is great. Always consider your children that way and rejoice. I truly will rejoice. I'm going to press in spiritually to rejoice. And lastly, this word picture, and what a powerful word picture, a warrior with his arrow. Look at verse 4. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Children are given to us for God's purposes, again, to worship God, to serve him. And it's very important for parents to keep in our hearts that worship is the end goal, that what we are moving toward is to help this little one become a worshiper of God, to be used for God's glory. How are children like arrows in the hand of a warrior? Well, there are three ways that I want you to consider. One, a warrior shapes his arrow to be straight so that they can fly right. A warrior in Old Testament times crafted his own arrows. He didn't go to, you know, Gander Mountain or some other sporting store and say, hey, I need to buy some arrows. He found some sticks that were somewhat straight, but they're all bent, and he began to shape them as straight, and he began to whittle them down. He began to work with them so that they would become straight arrows, and then he would sharpen the ends to attach the ends so that it would become usable in battle. He knows that his effectiveness in battle depends on how straight the arrows are and how sharp the points, and so it's a very, very important process for a warrior. Understand, he says, parents, you're warriors, and you're going to need arrows. So I'm giving you these little ones to be arrows so that you can help them become the best arrows. And I'm giving them into your hands for that work, right? Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Secondly, arrows in the hands of a warrior are instruments of war. So the assumption is that the parents in this picture are warriors. In other words, hey, this world's a battle. That's what God teaches us about disciples of Christ. And here are your weapons. In other words, this is the tool by which you send out these instruments to a far distant place, a place that you can't reach to do a work for God. Our weapons, again, are not physical. They're spiritual. But this war is serious, and as we shape them for this battle, we expect to suffer wounds from our effort, and we prepare our children, though, to be part of a battle, that this world is not a friend to grace, that there is a huge fight that's going on, and we're expecting our children all their lives in this world to be one of constant conflict and often severe conflict. And I believe that conflict is going to become more and more severe, that there will be not just persecution sort of socially, but there will be more and more persecution financially first and then ultimately physically. And our children need to be shaped to be ready to be part of battle. And finally, arrows are sent to a faraway place that the warrior cannot go. So children are given to us by God and for God. And arrows never fulfill their purpose until they're put in a bow and released. And they're released out to a place that we might never arrive at. So as I was thinking about my life this week, you know, I'm 55, and if God's really gracious to me, I may have another 35 years on this earth. And I pray that I will fight all the way to the end in this battle to bring glory to God, using the spiritual weapons of the gospel to bring light where there's darkness. And God may have me suffer for that. No one knows what the future is in that regard. But by God's grace, I say, I want to be willing for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. That's what I want to be. And so that means that maybe my influence for Christ will be on this earth till around 2054. That may sound like a long time away, but it's going to come. It's going to come very quickly. But if God gives me physical energy, I may be able to fight and be part of that battle till 2054. But God's given me three arrows. And now he's given me two more arrows. The three arrows, they might be able to go out till 2075 or more. And those two other little arrows that I can be part of, shaping and as a grandpa, they might go out to 2,100. And that's my opportunity. Isn't it kind of cool as a parent to think that you can have an impact upon a battlefield that you'll never see and never be part of through the way that you're shaping your arrows right now, shaping those arrows, arrows for Christ. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So let us shape and send our children for God's glory and God's good purpose. The last word I want to share with you is this psalm contains a principle very strong related to the salvation of our own souls. Our application has been primarily on parenting and children and families, but God has a word for salvation, salvation of individuals. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And what the Bible clearly teaches us is no matter how much we labor to earn a righteousness which would be accepted by God, we labor in vain unless it's not the Lord's righteousness that we receive by faith. No matter how much we try to protect our soul against death and the onslaughts of eternal condemnation through efforts and watchfulness, we keep awake in vain unless it's the Lord that's providing that protection for us. And God loves you, and he loves you so much that he saw that You needed a righteousness built in your heart that you don't presently have in order to be part of his kingdom forever and ever. And he sees that you also, and I also, need a protection that we can't make for ourselves regarding an impending judgment that's to come. And he says, so I'm sending my son. Let him build this house of righteousness. He died on the cross for you, and he ever lives to make intercession for you. So receive him. Don't try to obtain that righteousness on your own. Look to Christ. And this one, he is the strongest of defenders. He overcame the most powerful enemy, death itself. He died and rose again. So if you want to be defended against death, not just physical death, but eternal death, separation from God, look to him. Because if you're trying to build your own spiritual house or to protect your own soul, you're going to build in vain. You're going to protect in vain. Look to Christ and live.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. It is our great privilege to encourage you through the Word so that you might draw near to God, that you might have hope, that you might have strengthened faith, that you might have greater purpose to worship God through all of life. And today the subject has been on the relationship between parents and children. And as a child who still has one of my parents living, it's really important for me to consider, well, Lord, how would you have me to relate to my mom even to this day? And then as a dad and also a granddad, it's so important for me to, well, God, how would you have me to relate to my children, to my grandchildren to this day? Well, you know, God has not left us without a clear word. He's left us with so many great principles and applications. We want to encourage you by offering you a free resource. It's Shepherding Your Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. If you'd like that book as a free resource and gift from us, please connect with us through our website. We'd love to offer that as a practical way to encourage you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.